Good morning. Oh, this is a little bit of heaven for me. New friends, longtime friends, brothers and sisters. Ah, you delight my heart. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. And thank you for your prayers. The Lord has answered above and beyond anything we could even dream to ask him. We have prayers answered that we don't even know till we come back and people say, you know, I was praying about this particular thing about what's going on in Malawi. And I go, oh, so that's how that got started. So that's how that door got open. So we walk on your prayers. And I don't joke when I'm saying that. I'm not trying to make everybody feel good because God is doing things that we are just blown away by all the time. And so this is kind of like a little mini report because we'd have to have a retreat or a conference for a week for us to do a full report just because there's just so much to talk about. But I just want to read the focus and the direction, the scripture that the Lord, he gave us direction through this scripture, and he continues to give us direction through this scripture. It's in 2 Corinthians 5:20, and I've memorized it, but as we're training our help that goes out in the village with us, our team, we always say, when you start talking about scripture, read it from the word. Read it so that the people who don't have a Bible, who can't read, so they know that you're not just saying some nice little saying, some cute little motto, but that you're saying something directly from the Word of God. And one of the joys of serving in Malawi is you don't have to convince people that the Bible is the Word of God. That's already put in their heart by God, because you go into a village and there won't be a Christian there, but if you talk about the Word of God and the Bible, they don't argue with you. They go, yes, I want to hear what the Bible says, because that is the Word of God. That's what God left for people. But we don't have a Bible. We don't know how to read. There'll be a lot of things they'll talk about, but they don't talk about the Bible not being true or that it's not the Word of God. So this is it. 2 Corinthians 5:20. And it's almost a scripture that many times just makes me want to cry, because what a privilege. Such a privilege. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And that is the complete focus of the work of Rushall. Everything is based upon the Word of God. So I don't know where to start. I was praying this morning again about where to start, because we speak in a lot of places, a lot of churches, and I don't have a canned program. I know every place I go, everywhere I speak, it's a place that God has chosen, and God has something in particular for that particular place. So I start out with the scripture, and then the Lord just sort of starts bringing thoughts and ideas of what to share, because there's a million things to share. First thing that is on my heart and mind is time. Let me check. Do you know what this means? That when I look at my watch, it means that it's not going to make any difference. I can't help it. But I am growing. As older I get, the more obedient I'm becoming. So you will be dismissed on time today, so don't panic. One of the things that I just really want to say, besides thank you, and that God has done everything, that Rushall is not responsible for anything that's happened, or it's God. You know, you can put all kinds of names on it. You can tag ministry with all kinds of little phrases and mottos. But really, the work of God all over the world and the work of God through his people, through his church, is just so amazing. And because we're in a place in Malawi, we're in the capital city, we get to interact with a lot of other people who are there for missions. Either they're there for social justice, they're there for humanitarian care, they're there for many, many reasons. Development of the country, because it is the number one poorest country in the world, Malawi is now, officially. You get to see a lot of things that happen, and it's all good. I mean, it's good that people get the help they need and grow better crops and all of these things that so many agencies are bringing. But we bring the gospel. Our focus is to teach the word of God. So we don't have any affiliation there with the church, because we found when we name a church, everyone who doesn't go to that particular church never comes to the teachings, never participates in the work in the village, keeps their children away from the children's ministries that we have with every village we go to. And Steve will tell you more about the village things, but I want to talk about what happened last year that was so totally answered prayer. Last year, we suffered a devastating loss to the ministry. Two of the people that we had been training and discipling and working with left. And that's another story. Won't go there. But they left because they wanted not to be part of what the work was doing in Malawi. They had other ambitions. So Steve and I went to prayer, and we took 2 months of just waiting for God to give us direction what to do. And it's an amazing thing what he's done. We started knowing that God wanted to add 4 people. And at our prayer care team prayer meeting yesterday, someone reminded me, you know, Nora, last year we prayed specifically for 4 people to come on board the ministry. So we now have 4 interns, 4 young men who are graduates of the Bible College or other college. And they're educated, their English is excellent, and they came on board with us last June. And so they're wrapping up their internship by March 1st. And all 4 of them have proved that God would call them, that God had raised them up for the work of the ministry. They are incredible. I call them my fabulous 4. Because they have gone into the villages with such love of Christ and so armed with the word of God and so willing to learn, so willing to teach with others. So we go into all these villages. We, with the interns, they report at our house that's also our headquarters, 9 to 5 every day. We have devotions together. We have studying the Bible together. We have prayer and planning, because we've brought them on board how to do everything that Steve and I do, because our plan is that, like right now, we're here. Everything's going on normal. Everything's going on in all the ministries. The interns have learned how to teach adult literacy, and now they're teaching people in the villages how to teach adult literacy. So we've expanded our adult literacy program from a very small, struggling program to where we have 16 teachers through the middle section of Malawi who are teaching classes. There's 209 adults registered and attending these classes. And the goal is that they can read the Bible. The goal is that they can have the knowledge from the Bible, from the Word of God, for themselves, and not be spoon-fed many times distortions of the Word and not completely biblical, some of the things that they're being taught. So in Africa, there's a saying, and it's the African people who say it. They say, if you want to keep a secret from an African, put it in a book. because they'll never read it because they can't read, or they'll never see it because it's not available to them. So this has just been an incredible, I can't even tell you, because we were so discouraged by so many people. Don't put so much emphasis in the villages, because, you know, it's in the city where everything's at. You know, it's in the city where you have this and you have that, and you have the internet, you have easier transportation, you have places for meetings, you have the convenience of all the things in a city. And we'd say, yeah, that sounds great. You know, we agree with you. That's a great thing. But there's people doing that. But that's not what God has called us to do. God has called us to the villages. God has called us where nobody wants to go, because it's inconvenient, it's very discouraging, it's very hard, and the enemy really fights tooth and nail, because the enemy doesn't want these people who are lost in darkness, for the lack of the word, lost vision, because they have no vision from the God of the universe, because they're not even sure. They know he wrote a book, but they don't know him. They don't know them, even him. And even in the churches, people who have been, especially in our literacy classes and the teachers that we're using, they are the perfect people to minister to their own people. And so we, even though we don't speak the language, I can't even pray in Chichewa. I wouldn't even try. I mean, I'll pray in tongues, but not in Chichewa, because I don't have a handle on that language. But the people who actually have grown, been born and speak that language and who live in that culture are the best people to reach their people. They just need to be trained. And so that's what Steve and I are doing. We are training these young men and our darling administrator. That was the voice. She was the lead singer on the video. She's a wonderful administrator and a wonderful worship leader. And that was the Bible study. We have a Bible study every Monday morning with Water Missions, and Steve will tell you more about that every Monday. But we have Bible study every morning when we start our day. So the interns now are getting ready to move into a full-time position of employment. But really, I have to tell you, they aren't hired. We are recognize the call on their life. We recognize the call that God has on their lives. They are coming on board as ministers that can do everything that we can do. They can do the books. They can do the input on the computer. They can do the banking. They can do all the work with the village chiefs. They can do all the work with the packing, because we go a week at a time into these villages that you have to drive so far to get to. They know how to plan, shop, pack, get ready, everything ready. They're just a fabulous team. They even know if you don't pack the vehicle just right, we don't have room for everything and everybody. So there's it's just amazing. I wish you could come and see, and I pray that God would send many of you so that you could come and see. The other thing that I want to say about the interns is when they come on board in March, then we're going to start the applications for 4 more interns. So they're going to have a position. Not only are they going to be doing their jobs, but they're going to be bringing along the new interns. So we will have 8. By the end of next year, we will have 8 people who are specifically trained to go to the villages to run the ministry and do everything that we do. It's such a joy to see people doing what you have been doing for years, but better. They do it better. They do it better. I mean, I sometimes just look at some of the guys, and I'll say, why are you looking at me that way? I said, you're just great. How you handled that situation, I wouldn't have thought to go that direction. I was thinking in my mind how it should be done, and that's my hard part, is keeping my mouth shut and seeing what are they going to do? How are they going to handle this? And I'll tell you, there's very little correction. very little correction because they have observed, they've absorbed the work. They have been filled with God's love. And they're a wonderful team. And we never have laughed so hard in our lives. This gang, I don't know what it is, but their sense of humor is different than an American sense of humor. But I'll tell you, we've had times that we've had to say, nobody say anything for 5 minutes, please. Please, because my stomach's hurting from laughing. Please. And then you hear them giggling, you know, and I go, no, 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 don't even laugh. Don't say anything, don't even laugh. But we're grateful for these young men. We're grateful for what they're doing, and we're grateful so much to God because God wants to reach his people. God wants everyone to hear the gospel. And they are fabulous with the children. And I have to tell you, today an awesome prayer was answered. A prayer was answered by an awesome God. That's how I should say it. Because when I went in the little office there to pray, I looked over in this bookcase and I go, oh, children's ministry material. And I'm slobbering over it. You know, I'm just going, your church is going to, in fact, already has given me a fun drive, flash drive. I call them fun drives, but that's all right. And it's the word, and that's what our team asked for. Our team said, we want something that focuses on the word. We want something that isn't just for the kids to play at church, play at being a Christian, play. It's not a game. It's a war. And we want them to know that they have a God who's made promises that he keeps, and they need to be able to go forward with the full armor of God and do the things that God has called them to do and be secure that he has promised to back them up. He's promised already for all of us, and it's not just them, but they don't know that. We know that, but they don't know that. And so we have ministered to probably about 5,000 children in the last year. And I don't mean one time. I mean repeatedly, because we don't just go in and, you know, flash Jesus around and then go out. We disciple. We teach. We train. We help them to be able to share what they've learned so that they will share with others in the villages. We've taken three villages, remote villages, last year. It was our first visits there through the book of John. Every verse, every word, step by step. And that was about 9 weeks, solid weeks, out in the remote area, teaching these three different villages. And then we've gone back. In fact, our team is going there again this Tuesday and Wednesday for the children's ministry edition. But out of all these people, and we figure when we add up the people who attended these John studies in these extra villages, we figure about 1,000 people have heard at least portions of the book of John, because not all of them came to every teaching session, but over 100 of them took an exam and passed them with flying colors. And some of them were Muslims who came to say to us, can we come and hear how you teach the Bible? We don't know what's in the Bible, and we're just curious. Can we come? And that's the rule of Rochal. Everyone is welcome. We tell them, have them come, have them be here, but they're Muslims. No, it doesn't matter. We don't care. But they're drunks. Oh, great. Come, you know, if they're going to come and sit and listen, we want them. But they're prostitutes. There's adulterers. There's liars. They don't go to church. They don't believe in God. They do ancestor worship in the graveyards, we know. We go, great, invite them. Put them in the front. We want them here. We want to pray for them. We want to show them who Jesus is from the scriptures. Not from experience, not for good feelings, but the true word of God. And to teach them, if you want to grow in Christ, for those who are already attempting to live the Christian life, which is very difficult in that culture, we want them to be sure to know there's no other way to grow There's no other way to grow except by the Word of God. That's the essence of being able to grow in Christ, to be able to grow in what God has called us in our lives here, because we're all called, we're all ambassadors. This scripture wasn't, you know, it didn't say Steve and Nora, you're ambassadors. All of us. If you're a Christian, you're an ambassador. So I just want to thank you. Thank you for giving me this time just to talk about the wonderful things that are happening. And thank you. thank you. And I pray that if there's any of you who know someone in your family or someone that you know that you work with and so on, that you would suggest, have you ever thought of going on a short-term mission trip? Think about it for yourself. You know, I think I'm going to be 87. I'm going to be 70, 78 this year, right? I don't even know how old I am. I know how old I feel, but it has nothing to do with my physical age. But if God can use a man and a woman like us, then God can use everybody. We love teenagers. We love people of all ages and all stages. So I've gotten the signal from my husband, so I think I better go because I will have problems if I don't. But you see, I told you, it doesn't make any difference. I love you guys, and thank you so much.
Always a danger to let her go first. Malawi has a population of 17 million people. It is, as Nora said, the number one poorest country in the world. I know that that is hard to believe. When we arrived in 2009, it was the sixth poorest nation. It has gone nothing but downhill since. The government is as corrupt as any government I've ever seen. There's no medicines in the hospitals. I know there's at least a couple of nurses in this room. Can you imagine somebody coming in with a liver problem, a gallbladder problem? They have no medicine to give them. The president died of a heart attack, and they had nothing to help him with. 85% of the nation lives in villages. If they do not grow their crops, they do not eat because there is no government subsidy. None. Zip. Nada. 51% of 17 million people are the age 12 and under. 85% of the nation are 30 and under. The national average of a woman's lifespan is 40 years. A man is 43. You don't think they need help? It is said of Africa as a continent that the knowledge of the Word of God is an inch thick. In Malawi, my phrase is it's 1/8 of an inch thick. It's not a problem that they don't believe the Bible. There's nobody's teaching them. And nobody teaches from the Old Testament. Nobody. To the best of our knowledge, there is no team like Rushaw that goes to the villages. We have never run into anybody else. So let me give you a quick overview, then I want to share with you from Scripture what God put on my heart before we came. And I have shared this message at every church that we've been to because it is a message from God Himself to all His people, every one of us. We have a close relationship, both being involved as well as financially supporting an orphanage with 29 kids from ages 7 to 17. They're wonderful kids. They're all being well cared for, housed properly, fed properly, in school, getting their education all the way through high school. If we get sponsors, then we can send them on to college. Less than 2% of the nation ever attends college. Without knowledge, how can you grow? You live as you lived 200-300 years ago. We have, by the grace of God, 8 acres of land that we grow crops. So not only are we missionaries, we're also farmers. Now, on that land, we grow corn, maize, pumpkins, sweet potatoes, peanuts. But it's not for us. It's for our staff. It's for our village teachers so that they are benefiting from the fruit of the land. God provided that land to us, and we wanted to make it use. One day it'll become that, at the tail end of the video, that center, the Rushaw Pavilion. That's another story. I won't dwell on that. But one day that land will be training and providing all kinds of activities for the love of Jesus Christ to spread even further. God has blessed us. This year, we will have 4 weekly television programs, teaching inductively, book by book, chapter by chapter, which I do. Nora and Funa, our administrator, will be teaching the book of Esther to the women. We have 2 young men who have been trained in the puppet ministry, and we have all the puppets and all the stage and all the stuff. They will be doing a weekly television program going to the children. And then I'm going to add a survey of the Old Testament, because I want to start getting at least the people in the city to aware that there's a reason that the Old Testament has been written and is there for us. So that's going on. Nora mentioned the 4 interns that we currently have. We have 4 more that we want to add, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. We have a training center that God provided for us. You saw a glimpse of it in the video. You first saw it while it was under construction, then you saw it with the wall and the gate. I know there's at least several people in construction that are here. That's 5,500 square feet building, a wall of all the stuff that goes with that, water, all solar. It costs us $120,000 to build. Do your math. I dare you just get that done here for $120,000. But God has provided it all. He never provides it before we need it, but he gives us that glimpse and says, this is what I want you to do. Trust me. I'm with you. And then we move forward, take the next step. And then he provides what he needs until the fruition of what he wants done. And that's the key for all of us, is keeping in step with our Lord and Savior. We are actively involved in a rotation basis in 20 different villages. We have a great relationship with another Christian organization called Water Missions. They provide safe, potable water systems for the villages who have the filthiest water known to mankind. As soon as one of their systems goes in and is operating, the death rate goes shoo, because there's so many waterborne diseases that they're living with. They're going to open 12 more this year. That's 32 villages. We need, you know, the fields are white unto harvest, but we need laborers. We need people. And God, I can't even go into the details, but this trip, we've got several people, several teams from this area coming to Malawi this year just because of the Holy Spirit working on our hearts. As Nora shared, we trained a whole group of new teachers who could already read and write, but we taught them the new system. And this system, by the way, we used to use the curriculum from the government, which was good. But then they decided they didn't have any more money, and they wanted us to contribute about $10,000 so they could get more books. And we said, I don't think that's our job. But we got it involved with a young man, also a graduate of the African Bible College, as well as the one in South Africa.
Stellenbosch.
Went to Oklahoma City. Went with a group called Literacy Evangelism International. And I would have, if you're interested, to take that name down, go on the line and see. They've been around since 1987, and they provide unbelievable stuff. But what we're doing is taking their program, the textbook. You ready? Ooh, sorry. The Bible. With the Bible are five workbooks. Each workbook has 20 chapters. So they learn how to read and write, and it's already being implemented in several locations in Malawi. And they're having phenomenal success. But here's the kicker. By the time they go through the five workbooks, they have a complete overview of the Bible. So as they're teaching to read and write, they're also getting the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. You know, one door closes, and God opens another one. And it's much better than the one that we were using. We're at the juvenile prison. 130 inmates from age 12 to 19. It's a work farm. They work from sun up to sundown. They get one meal a day, and they have the rattiest uniforms that you can imagine. When you go out there, you can see how the dirt is caked to their legs. They don't have meat, except when people like us come in and bring meat. So we started in November or October? Mm-hmm. October. We started a Bible study there. And again, how God sets things up. The warden is a Christian. Amen. And he wants us to do whatever we can. And so we started the Bible study, and there are 130 inmates, and less than five can read and write. So when we get back, we will implement a new adult literacy program so they can learn to read and write. Amen. Amen. So we're blessed. I believe Nora mentioned this. You know, when we share these things, tendency is to look and say, oh, how great we are. Please, let me get that out of the way right now. How many of you remember Disneyland when they had the book that you buy, okay? Well, we are, in our mission, an e-ride. Now, an e-ride was the last ticket in the book, and that was saved for the very best ride. Well, that's what we're at. We're having the lifetime experience of our ministry life. And we've been in the ministry for over 40 years. God is doing everything. All we're doing is trying to keep up with him. And that ain't easy, let me tell you. But what a blessing that we're experiencing. We sold our home last year. We got rid of our timeshare in Newport Beach. We used to love to go to Newport Beach. And we're filing for permanent residency in Malawi. Malawi is now our official home. We'll always come back here every year because we have four children, 13 grandbabies, and You ready for this? 8 great grandbabies. Yeah. So we are about God's business. Here's the message I want to give to you. And I, Dave, just so I don't get completely out of it, it's 11:35. What time do you want me to wrap up? Another hour. Okay, good. Is that what you said, Dave? If you have your Bibles, please get them out. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 28. And I want to share this with a heart of excitement. Because I don't want anybody to walk out of here and say, oh, I look, he shared those scriptures and I'm bummed out. No. I want you to be excited about what God wants to do in your life. He left us a textbook, a love letter, and we need to be in it and obeying it. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How many love Jesus? Hallelujah. This message is from him directly, okay? Matthew 28, starting with verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Not some, not most, all authority. Here's the message, folks. You ready? Go, therefore, into the streets of Pacific Grove, into Monterey, into Seaside and Marina. Everywhere we are to go. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here's the punchline. Teaching them, not just sharing with them, but teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. If you're in the mood, go. No. Believe me, I was not in the mood to go to Africa. Turn with me to same book, Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to look at verses 28 through 30. Some say, oh, but you don't understand. I've got this problem. I've got this responsibility. I've got this. When the Lord is calling you, he's going to provide everything that needs to be done. Do you believe that? Come unto me. This is Jesus speaking. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's his rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Whose power are we operating on? Our own? Good luck, brother and sister. If we're operating in his strength, in his power, oh my goodness, it's easy to spot anyone who's operating in the Spirit. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to know and recognize it. John 15:7. My life verse. February 1976, I did a complete study from Spurgeon on the book of John. And that this verse has stayed with me the rest of my life. Jesus said, if. You know, it's only two letters. But what a profound statement. If you will abide. And if you look, do a word study on the word abide, it means to dwell, to live, to exist in him. In him and in his word. Then you will ask for your heart's desire. And Jesus said, I will do it unto you or for you. What are the conditions? It's they immediately follow the word if. Are we abiding in him? Are we living in him? Are we seeking him? Are we obeying him? See, that's what it's about. John 16:33. It's not one you're going to want to hear until you get to the end of the verse. In this life, you will have tribulation. How many like that? Oh, wait a minute. What happened to all the hands? But he went on to say, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We don't expect to have a path of roses. Being a Christian, if they hated him, who are they going to hate? Hello. Here we are. Should that stop us? Absolutely not. It didn't stop Paul, the apostle, or Peter, or John. Go down the list. Second Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Second Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. You therefore, my son, and I'm going to paraphrase, daughter, be strong in the grace that is in, notice the word in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men and women who will also be able to teach others also. You mean we're all teachers? Yep. If we share with our children, you're teaching, aren't you? If you share with your neighbors, are you not teaching? If you share at the workplace and don't get caught, with all the crazy laws in California today, I wasn't supposed to talk politics, I'm sorry. Commit these to faithful men and women to teach others also. You, verse 3, you therefore must, not a suggestion, you must endure hardship. Wait a minute, I'm a Christian. That doesn't mean everything is going to be fine and hunky-dory and never have another problem in my life? Absolutely, unequivocally, no. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. They hated him, they're going to hate us. But it didn't stop him, and it cannot stop us if we are in him. No one entangles in a warfare and never entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We're all enlisted. We're all his soldiers. Male, female, young, old. People, when we announced in 2008 we were leaving Calvary Chapel, Monterey Bay, the people who knew us would come up and say, but you're too old. You're going to die over there. I said, I got to die somewhere. That was 9 years ago. We were 68 when we left. We're 77 now. We're healthier today than we were when we left. When God guides, he provides. In every respect. And I'm just going to take real quick. I wrote one letter in 2008, in September 2008. One letter to people I knew extremely well. I did not shotgun it to the whole church or churches. Only people I knew well. And I said, Lord, if this is your will, then you will provide. That's the only time we've asked for money. We have 8 acres paid for. We have a training center, 5,500 square foot building, paid for. We have no debt.
The Lord has no debt.
Amen. He doesn't allow his children to go into debt. We started out with Nora and I, and now we have, with all of our teachers out in the field, plus our staff at the local, we have 29 employees that all are being cared for and have a salary that they can live on. And God has provided. We can trust Him. We need to trust Him and say, yes, Lord, here I am. Use me, send me. And I think that's the message God wants us to have today. No matter who we are, no matter what our age is, no matter what our financial conditions might be, God says, I can use you. Are you willing? Are you willing? Nora quoted 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, which says, all of us are ambassadors of Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador goes into a foreign country representing the country he came out of, to a nation, so that there is relationship. Without relationship, nothing gets done. If you don't have a relationship with a Malawian, you're going to go nowhere. You can't dictate. You've got to go in. And you've got to know what their culture is. You've got to know what their traditions are. And then systematically allow the Spirit to guide them out of these things into the Word of God. We're ambassadors here in the church. There may be somebody here today that's not even saved. There may be people here today that are suffering, heartache. They need to be ministered to. You're an ambassador. It isn't up just to the staff of the church. It's all of us. How many times have you read in the Bible how Jesus made the reference to the body of Christ, each having its own gift for the benefit of the total? This is not a Lone Ranger deal. It's a community deal. And I'm going to say this not because I'm sitting here, or standing here in front of Dave, your pastor, but I've said this to every fellowship that we've shared in. Are you praying for this man? Because he has a bullseye. His family has a bullseye on them. The enemy wants to destroy. And the easiest way to destroy is to take down the pastor. Are you encouraging him? Because I want to tell you, every pastor I have ever met in my life needs encouragement. We hear all the bad things, but we rarely hear the good things. Are you joining him in the activities of the church? Because that's your calling. You're ambassadors. Be involved. I want to ask a question. How many people here today, and I want you to be blunt and honest, how many here today believe that Jesus is coming back soon? Well, hallelujah. I have a question. I don't want an answer. This is a rhetorical question. What are you doing to make sure that he comes back? Are we reaching out in the hospitals, the convalescent homes, the parks, our homes? We're called, people. We're called. What a privilege we have to be called of God and to be empowered by the Word of God. I love Acts 1:8. Jesus said, go into Jerusalem and wait for me. And when he was crucified, the Holy Spirit, he said, I want you to go and wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. It's different than the Holy Spirit always being with us. When we accepted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came in us. This is the third working of the Holy Spirit. And that is not a one-time occurrence. I pray for this every single day. I need his power. I need his wisdom. I need his strength. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Doesn't matter. Okay. I learned that from my wife. He is the place we get the strength and the power and the wisdom to do what we're called to do. He doesn't call the prepared people. He even calls the unprepared people so he can prepare you the way he wants to you to be prepared. I'm a living, breathing example. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians 12, and I'm going to read from starting with verse 4. Because I'm sure that people out here somewhere in this congregation says, I don't know what my gifts are. Well, nothing like now to find out. Because you've all been given at least one spiritual gift. But God chooses. I used to go through and say, oh, I want that one and that one. Ooh, I don't want that one. No, he chooses. But we've all been promised one spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Notice, given to each one for the profit of who? All. If you're not using your spiritual gift, you're robbing the body of Christ. What happened to you? That's all right. I get very observant. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healings, but by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one of us individually as he wills. Hallelujah. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We're called, ladies and gentlemen. You raised your hand, the vast majority of you, if not all of you, and you said you believe he's coming back soon. Amen? He's wanting us to be about his business. No man knows the day nor the hour of his return. But he said, when you see these things happening in the world, look up, your redemption is drawing near. And if you read, and that's why I would encourage all of you to come to that Wednesday meeting with the prophecy update, because you need to know what the prophecy is about. And all the things that are talked about in the end times prophecy are happening today throughout the world. And you need to look no further than your California legislator. Sorry, I did it again. It's about time, and we need to be about his business. No man knows the day and the hour, but occupy. Be about his business until he comes. And that's what you and I are called to do. You don't have to go to Africa, although we'd love for you to come. You don't have to go to Indonesia. You don't need to go to Afghanistan or Iraq. There's plenty to do right here in this community. Lots to be done. Let's turn. That'll be the last passage I share out of the book of John, chapter 15. John 15, starting with verse 14. You, this is Jesus speaking. I'm just reading. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Who wants to be friends with Jesus? Let's be about his business. Because he commanded, he didn't suggest. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what a master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. Where did you learn about Jesus? Right here. He wrote us a textbook so we'd know what to do. I'm going to give you a challenge. And I'd really like you to take it seriously. To read at least, I would encourage you to read the whole book of Ephesians. But in particular, chapter 1. Starting with verse 3 to the end of the chapter. And mark how many times it says, in Christ, through Christ, in him. And then get to chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able, I'm paraphrasing now because we're not, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine, by the Spirit that dwells within us. We have been given everything we need to live an abundant life. I came to give you life, and that life more abundantly. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not living the abundant life. I hope that's not bad news, but I hope it's good news because you have the opportunity to do it. So we come as your brother and sister to tell you what God is doing in Malawi, but also to encourage you to be about his business right here in Pacific Grove in the Monterey Peninsula, wherever God takes you, wherever he plants you, bloom. Let you be one of those beautiful blooming plants that we see when the rain comes, and then all of a sudden the poppies and the, what's the other one? Lupins. We lived for many years either in Monterey or in Salinas, and that ride on 68 after the rain has come and the flowers have come out, and I just, oh Lord, I just love it. But you know what? Even when they're not blooming, we can be joyous. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. God bless you.